Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to your break from reality. This is Jordana Green. Paul's break from reality is ongoing. He's on vacation, has been for a week and a half. He doesn't get back till Monday. I miss him dearly. In the house, in the studio, Susie Jones, Susan Blanche, and it is now all raccoon media all the time. I was laying awake hoping the raccoon would be okay. I have learned today that he is. I am completely fascinated by this story, and so is Twitter. The NPR raccoon had its own Twitter account last night. I can't seem to find it today. I was following her. Now I know it's a her, but just some of the tweets that are hashtagged NPR raccoon, hilarious. Keith Schubert tweets, you know it's 2018 when you're arguing with your editor about the appropriate pronouns for a raccoon. Oh, that happened. You make it, Trash Panda. You make it. Hashtag NPR raccoon from Colton West. I believe Paul Majors, all the way out in California, Palm Springs, or wherever he's vacationing or living this week. NPR raccoon has now surpassed Dan Barrero in likability and Sid Hartman in recognizability. Hashtag a star is born. Yes, we needed this raccoon. We needed him. We got him. I am grateful. Susie Jones, are you enjoying this as much as I am?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Maybe because you had to hang out by the UBS building and follow the raccoon, thinking he might plummet or she might plummet to her death at any moment.
Well, actually, I kind of came in late in the game. Okay. So Edgar had the beat yesterday.
Honey, he was live with me. We were watching her climb. I was cheering for her.
Right.
And I had to kind of shield my eyes because, God forbid, I didn't want to see her become roadkill.
Which she may actually end up becoming that.
No.
I'm just saying they let her go today.
Okay, so listen to this. Okay. Listen to this, Suze. Before we get to the nuts and bolts of the story,
yeah.
I just got a text from Nancy, my old neighbor. Mm-hmm. I really need to give Nancy a full segment on the show because she does pump in with interesting tidbits. Nancy used to be my across-the-street neighbor in Eden Prairie. She writes, hey, Jordana, Joe, her son, used to work for wildlife management. When they caught raccoons, they're usually typically euthanized. Raccoons are cute, but they're dangerous and carry diseases that humans can catch, and they can be very nasty and mean. Plus, there's already an abundance of raccoons. They're not an endangered animal. I'm glad they let her go just because of the unity that she brought to our country. All right, I know that's extreme. That's extreme.
Yes,
but you know
is.
What? It was like North Korea, Trump, everybody's angry with each other. There's so much bipartisanship. But we all came together over the raccoon.
It was pretty.
It was
funny.
Beautiful. Okay, so walk me through the rescue.
Okay, so we got a chance today to talk to someone from Wildlife Management Services. And she said they got the call yesterday that this raccoon was eating pigeon eggs by the dock of the building,
okay.
UBS building, which is right across the street from Minnesota Public Radio, thus why Tim Nelson got permission to get up on the roof with, and actually I think he got in the cage and hugged and kissed the raccoon.
Okay, that's extreme.
I'm just saying. That's a jab out to Tim Nelson. He's a good dude, but they really
Absolutely.
Did get, exclusive.
Oh,
access.
They milked it. For sure. Hey, if a raccoon's climbing up the CCO building, I want that exclusive.
And we're going to name it the CCO raccoon.
Thank you.
So anyway, they get there, and it scared the raccoon, them arriving, so it's scampered right up the side of the building, and that's when sort of the drama unfolded because, as you said, went up 23 stories and then would stop and rest on the ledge.
It was like spider raccoon, though, watching it climb vertically. I was very impressed.
Very impressed.
Very.
Well, I'll let you know. This is, let me think of her name, Christina La Vialda. Why didn't I write that down?
That's okay. We trust you on that. Say it with authority. Everybody will believe you.
Well, here's what she said about, this one's this.
He was actually eating pigeon eggs from the loading dock, so that's why he was there in the first place.
Okay.
But then I asked her, they're very, very smart.
Raccoons?
Yes.
Okay. Not so much this one. Why was he climbing up a million stories?
She was a baby. She was like one.
Okay.
She was very cute. I got a picture of her, but that was another scene. Oh, I got to let you hear this.
It's fun. Join me in raccoon talk for the next 3 hours. No, I promise we're going to talk mergers and acquisitions, the AT&T merger.
Can I play you this?
We're going to talk with Tim Pawlenty. I got lots of stuff, but indulge me with the raccoon. Go ahead,
we're all waiting for the raccoon to come out of the building in the cage in the back of the pickup truck. And the driver of the pickup truck, ready, go.
Let's see it. Hold it.
Come on.
Be a guy.
Everybody was so mad because
did they cover him?
No, but they drove right out of there. They didn't give anybody a chance, but I got a cute little picture.
See, the raccoon is a hero. We needed to milk that. We need to enjoy it.
Here's what Mayor Melvin Carter said about the raccoon.
I think if anything, this proves that St. Paul is the place to take a risk and reach great heights.
That's some good stuff.
That's awesome.
Okay, what else here? Let me listen to this one.
We set traps on the roof yesterday.
Oh, this is her describing what happened.
Wet cat food happened to go up there. I believe there was a tweet at 2:30 in the morning, so we found him at we heard the tweet at 2:30 in the morning, and then we got out here right away this morning.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
And the mayor said this about, again, kind of encapsulating the fever. The raccoon fever.
You know, we've been getting calls and tweets and texts and emails from all over the country and all over the world as people kind of have been watching this raccoon and, you know, given all kinds of theories about how it, you know, represents something greater than a raccoon climbing a building. So
that goes to your point.
Let's not get crazy.
Okay. It's a spiritual experience.
I'm looking at the raccoon for some unity. Maybe NPR is going to use them for their next money drive, probably.
Maybe.
But let's not be crazy.
Well, it was funny.
She's not our spirit animal.
Yeah,
quite
well,
yet.
You never know. But the St. Paul Saints renamed themselves the St. Paul Raccoons yesterday.
Did they really?
On Twitter.
I love everything about that.
Yeah.
And for the texter who writes, if this is your top subject for the afternoon, God help us. You know what, sweetness? It is today. I don't want bipartisan divide. I don't want hate. I don't want spewing. I don't want name calling. I want raccoons. And if I want 20 minutes on my show of raccoons, we're doing that right now. Tim Pawlenty's coming at 3:35. That is on. But right now, it is all raccoon radio.
And Steve Simpson started this morning at 5 a.m. And his first story at 5 a.m. on the morning news was, we begin with one of those stories you can't predict as the one that would garner the attention that this one has.
Yes.
We speak, of course, about the raccoon.
Yes! International superstar, this raccoon.
You know, and I put it up on Facebook, and I've got tons of response.
Oh, sure.
Many questions like, is it a male or a female? Mm-hmm. What happened to it? Where'd they put him? And they wouldn't let us know where they were putting him.
But that's what Adam said in his story. I said, because clearly the paparazzi is after this
raccoon.
This
is one of my stories, was I felt like it was paparazzi.
She's a superstar.
Yep.
So we all
come on.
We should let her be.
One of the photographers berated the Wildlife Management Services lady. I mean, laid into her.
For not letting us have access?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that wasn't very nice.
Not very nice.
That's the opposite of the story. That's the antithesis of this. The raccoon is the great uniter.
But a couple of those photogs were like old timers, and they just wanted to get the stupid shot and be done with it.
I mean, they've been a million raccoon spider heists all the time, so I get it. They've been there, done that. They're not impressed with the raccoon.
And you said it before. Somebody told you there's raccoons everywhere all the time. We have one in our backyard.
Mm-hmm. And in southern Minnesota, someone texted in, there's been a high floodwaters, and they're kind of shushing them out of their hiding spots. So they're everywhere.
Like, I wish we could have found the drop from Elf when Will Ferrell is coming through the forest to come back to New York City, and he runs into a raccoon in Central Park and he reaches over to hug it.
I need to find that. I need to find that. We might have to put that up on Facebook.
Anyway,
that's a good one.
Pretty funny.
funny.
Texter says, hey, Jor, maybe you can change the station's call letters to WRCOON.
Ah, funny.
I like it.
Well,
I
mean,
it.
I know there is serious news in the world.
Of course there is.
Yes. And we've got the big story today about the charging of the gentleman in the high-speed chase. And
correct.
Those, and the little babies are still.
Those poor babies.
Yeah.
Very tragic.
Yeah.
We'll cover the news top and bottom of the hour as we always do. Right now, I'm going to need a couple more critter stories.
All right, you
if
got
you've got
it.
A raccoon story, here's my phone number, 651-989-9226. Best critter, it doesn't really have to be a raccoon, but let's just milk this a little bit. Let's just have some fun. Let's smile. Let's unite under the do we call her the NPR raccoon?
No, we're going to call her
St. Paul raccoon,
the
UBS
Saint Paul,
raccoon.
Well, let's call her Paulina.
I love it.
Paulina.
Susie. Paulina the Raccoon. Join me for a fun story. 651-989-9226 after the break here on CCO. Welcome back to Raccoon Radio. Jordana Green here. Thank you for playing along with me. We need this. We need a break. The lovely and talented Patty Peterson's on the phone with her favorite raccoon story. Hello, love.
Hello, my dear heart. You know how much you're making people smile by this subject? I'm just giggling in the car. I love it.
Thank you. Me too. Do you have a story?
Okay, so, yeah, I've got two of them, actually. One of them was Mama Raccoon had her babies in a chimney flue that wasn't capped in my last house. And my niece was babysitting, and she's hearing this scratching and can't figure it out. But pretty soon it's gone from the lower level where the fireplace is, and then we hear it in the upper level. We call the chimney sweeps. So, slowly but surely, one by one, one is on the top of the roof with a bat, and the other one is taking the babies out of the chimney flue.
And, oh, my gosh.
We just didn't know what to do because the mama came out and took off, and we put the babies in a box next to the chimney, and she did come back for them because the DNR said if you have us come and get them, they probably won't live. So anyway, to see the visual of a two-story home and a guy with the bat and gloves up to his shoulders ready to take on Mama Raccoon was interesting enough in itself. And then, as it turns out, my brother Paul had raccoons in his garage, and he called to say, how do you get rid of them? And they said, just put talk radio on in your garage and they'll leave.
I heard the same thing. And by the way, it works. It works. They don't like the noise.
The funniest thing, the incessant talking. I think it's hilarious.
Patty, you're the best. Thank you for calling
in.
You
too.
Great
love
stories.
The subject.
Great stories. Oh, she's hilarious. And by the way, that is true. They play music or talk radio. They don't like the noise. Dave's in St. Anthony. Dave, what's your raccoon story?
Well, many years ago, about 40 years ago, my father was a Minneapolis cop, and it was a particularly slow, what they call dog watch or overnight shift. And him and a few of his coworkers were screwing around down at Minnehaha Park, and they came across a whole mess of baby raccoons in a garbage can. So, in their infinite wisdom, they boxed them all up, put them in the back of the squad car, and went in for shift change and didn't tell the oncoming shift that was taking over that squad. And about an hour later, apparently there was a whole bunch of little raccoon heads popping out from underneath the driver's seat, about scared the heck out of the cops.
Oh, my God. I could see why. At the back seat also.
Undoubtedly.
Oh, Dave, thanks for the call. Great story. Great story.
Bet.
Oh, thank you for joining me on this fun raccoon ride. Mike's in Minneapolis. Mike, you have a fun raccoon story?
Yeah. I wouldn't want to eat a raccoon because, you know, they eat anything. I was on a fishing trip once, and I woke up about 2:30 in the morning to hearing this noise, and I look out of the tent, and the raccoon had gotten a hold of my bait box and had eaten almost a pound of night crawlers.
Oh, my gosh.
Turned my stomach.
Oh, my gosh. I don't want to look at what came out of the raccoon the next day either. I hope
no.
he escaped.
But, you know, George, do you know why the chicken crossed the road?
Why, Mike?
To prove to the raccoon that it could be done.
Well done. Well, there you go. Ba-dum-bum. I need a little drum there. Mike, you're the best. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah,
appreciate
bye.
It. Boy, the phone lines are packed. If you can't get in, it's because our phone lines are full with raccoon stories. Let's try to get to Dwayne. Dwayne in St. Louis Park. You got a fun story for me, Dwayne?
Good afternoon, Jor. Yeah. About 30 years ago, we moved into our home in St. Louis Park. And the day we finished moving all the real big, heavy stuff in, myself and my help were just fried. So we laid down on the floor in the family room to watch a football game. And my wife came in the room and she said, don't look now, but just really easily take a look behind you. I kind of rolled over a little bit, looked over my shoulder, and there was a mama and three little kittens watching the game with us.
In your house?
On my deck, sitting on my deck. They were watching through the door.
That's hilarious. So you adopted them, and now they live in your home, and it's been happily ever after?
No, I've had other run-ins with raccoons, and very few of them survive.
Good to know. Well, at least we know they like football. Dwayne, thanks for the story. Great story.
You bet.
Oh, funny stuff. All right, let's try to squeeze one more in. Barbara did get in under the wire. Barbara in Forest Lake. Quickly, Barbara. Hi, hon.
Okay, my husband and I grew up on farms, and our dads would put the tractor out in the corn, sweet corn field with the radio on all night to keep the raccoons out of the sweet corn.
Okay, there you, Barbara. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, the sweet corn's for you, not the raccoons. Appreciate it. Let's see, Terry. 30 seconds, Terry. What's your story?
Well, my son used to work for a pest exterminating outfit, and one day he had to exterminate a raccoon out of an attic, and actually, what he trapped it, and what they did with raccoons, they shoot it in the head. It's a nocturnal animal. And it's, they said that if it's, you know, out during the daytime, it could have rabies.
Right, right, right. Well, Terry, I'm sorry we ended on a low note, shooting it in the head, but thanks for the call, Terry. I appreciate it. You know who else has a raccoon story? Tim Pawlenty. He's in the green room. All right, I kind of made that up. I don't know if he has a raccoon story, but we're certainly going to ask him. Gubernatorial candidate Tim Pawlenty is in the green room, ready to chat with us after the news here on CCO. Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Jordana Green. It's also 3:39 here on Wednesday. It is Wednesday, right, Sue? It's Wednesday. We're getting over the hump, my friends. And we're doing it with a little raccoon humor. The raccoon is here to give us sort of a sidebar, an exit from the daily grind of some of the news talk that we do here. We asked you for your raccoon stories. You came up big. We had to shut down the phone lines for a while. Mr. Tim Pawlenty, gubernatorial candidate, former governor, gubernatorial candidate once again, is joining me in studio. Tim, welcome back to the studio.
Good to be here. Thank you.
I said we're going to have to get him a union card. He's been on CCO Radio so much to join the union. This is one of my favorite stories I saved for you because I did ask you for your raccoon story while we were in the green room. Somebody texted in this earlier. My dad, born in the 1930s, had a pet raccoon as a boy. He named her, are you ready for this, Rosemary Cooney. Makes me laugh every time he tells that story.
It's a good one. That's a good one.
And that's great. And just this other little tidbit, say, Jor, people who don't understand the raccoon hype, we needed this. All of us are exhausted with the daily circus and craziness of disaster that has been the constant last year. This was our vacation from the news cycle hell. All hail the trash panda. So, I mean, it's true.
And the trash panda.
Tim, I mean, are you feeling that? You are, I mean, this is your life. You're embedded. You've now jumped into this race again. Is this very different from when you ran politics oh so many years ago? Is the climate and the culture different?
Yeah, it is. And just on the raccoon part of it, I think it's you know, people's attention are drawn to things that are sort of cute, interesting, different. And, of course, the raccoon is all of that and more. So, but as to politics, Jordan, as you know, there was a day where the system was different and the people in it were different. And what's happened is everybody's either, not everybody, but nearly everybody's either solidly on the blue team or solidly on the red team. And no matter what the larger dynamics are, they almost robotically are attached to the red or the blue. And so the people who are not red or blue are have shrunk in number or not participated as much as the people in the red and the blue teams. And you've got folks in silos, sort of siloed in terms of their philosophies and the like. And that's why we have more gridlock, I think, today than we do in the past. It is more polarized for sure than it was even, say, 20 years ago.
So what then can you, first of all, as a person of interest, everybody knows who you are. You're a leader here in Minnesota. And if you are elected governor again, then what can you do? What do you feel is your responsibility to help heal that divide?
I think we can all do a lot. And in my case, one thing that I can do is bring my experience and strength to the table to try to open up the process and be willing to take some hits in the interest of getting things done and trying to bring the two sides together. Let me give you an example. I recently skipped my party's endorsing convention.
Oh, I'm familiar with that. Yes, I know. It's on my list of things to ask you, but we can talk
and,
about
and people
some
say
things.
Why? You know why? Well, at the peak of the endorsing convention, there were 800 or 900 votes cast for the ultimate endorsed candidate before he, you know, was voted in by voice voter acclamation. But 800 or 900 people shouldn't decide who the nominees of the major parties are in the state. The process needs to be more user-friendly, opened up so that more people can more easily participate. Because on a normal issue, on a normal day, you can get 60% of Minnesotans or Americans to agree on almost everything. But when the politicians get involved and they're in their silos, they have very limited either ability or willingness to try to find common ground. And I think I am a leader with the experience and the strength who can advance that. It will never be perfect, but I think I can help make it better.
What would you do differently than you didn't do last time you were in office? You served for two sessions.
Yeah. Well, one thing I'm doing this time is I'm not taking any pledges from any interest group ahead of time or on anything.
Explain that to people, because other candidates have come on and talked about that. Explain exactly what pledges are and give us an example.
Yeah, for the listeners who aren't immersed in this process, and why would you want to be? But, you know, all these interest groups come at you. There are dozens, hundreds of them, and they say during the campaign, if you want our support and the support of our membership, you have to take this pledge to do or not do this or that and sign it. Or we want you to fill out this questionnaire, sometimes short, sometimes long, committing to your position or in their position on all of their issues. And you come into office then with the support or not of that group, but you've already sort of locked in on those positions before much of the debate has even occurred or the public's weighed in. And things evolve. As you know, technology is changing, culture is changing, demographics are changing, a lot of things, the economy is changing. And so I come into the office this time with no pledges, no handcuffs in terms of policy positions and the like. And I think that will make me a more effective leader in terms of bringing the two sides together.
And having had the experience of served as our governor, you had your challenges. We waded through recessions while you were in office. What would you do differently now? What, looking back, and when, and I imagine you want to run this time because you say either I didn't finish the job or I screwed that up, and I want to have the opportunity to change it. So what'd you screw up, Tim?
Well, it's a different time. We had two wars raging, Iraq and Afghanistan. Those are still going on. And we had a big recession when I first got into office, and we had a near depression towards the end of my term. So it was
I remember I was out of work for quite some time.
Yeah,
I remember.
Very different time. People losing their houses and, you know, of course, government and business and family budgets plummeting. And so it was a very different time. So I would, first of all, enjoy and appreciate the opportunity to perhaps govern in more normal times. I think that would be good. But secondarily, you know, when you look at my record, it's a record of holding down spending, keeping a lid on taxes, cracking down on illegal immigration, trying to have market-based instead of government-based healthcare reforms and more. But I really am doing this just for one reason. I think I can help get good things done for a great state in challenging circumstances. And I am not interested in going back just to sit in the office or just to have the title. I want to get things done. And the three things we're focused on, as I mentioned, are education reform, driving down health insurance premiums, which are breaking the budgets of so many individuals and families. And then the third thing is to make sure that we have tax relief, but targeted towards middle and modest income people.
How is your education reform different from the education reform that Governor Dayton wanted to accomplish that he couldn't get the money that he wanted to do?
Yeah, I don't want to stereotype, but to net it out for your listeners, it's fair to say that mostly the Democrats, you know, get support from the teacher unions, and they're about pumping more money into the system. And they make very little change in terms of dramatic reforms or improvements in the system itself. My view is we should increase funding to schools, but I'm going to stand in the breach and demand accountability for better outcomes. And I'm going to be asking, along with giving them more money, what are you doing to better to deploy technology? What are you doing to better prepare teachers? How are you doing on professional development? Can we move from seniority pay to performance or a professional-based pay system? What are we doing for the failing school sites in Minnesota to help close the achievement gap? And are we willing to try something dramatic or even radical with respect to those sites? And the list goes on. So I'm in a position, mostly because the teacher unions won't support me. They'll try to kill me politically. To take much more risk and be much more bold when it comes to education reform than the Democratic candidates in this race.
Erin Murphy, also a former nurse running on the, she has the DFL endorsement. She wants to drive down the cost of prescription drugs and healthcare, and you mentioned that as one of your top priorities as well. How would you do it differently than she would? She's got a lot of experience in this field.
Yeah, so the basic dividing line between most Republicans and Democrats, but in her included, they're in favor of what's called single-payer health care. They want the government to step in and take over the health care system as the administrator and the payer of people's health care premiums, their bills, and manage the system. I think that's a terrible idea. I want to bring back market forces into the healthcare system. And what that means is I think a variety of things, but it includes let's make sure that providers have to list and disclose prices so people have information about what stuff costs. Let's make sure we have a third-party rank quality. And then let's give patients significant, and I'm not talking about little copay or deductible changes. I'm talking about 50% or more of the savings. If they use the system wisely and help drive savings in the way that they utilize healthcare, they should be able to pocket the savings or most of it. So that's called a shared savings model, which you'll hear more about as we unfold that in the campaign. There's much more also we can do in mm-hmm. terms of prescription drugs. You know, I've been all over this for years, but I think when you come to prescription drug practices, you know, you think about Canada versus the United States. I was in favor of drug reimportation. You think about the fact that Medicare and Medicaid, two of the biggest purchasers of prescription drugs in the country, are prohibited from negotiating a discount from drug companies on volume.
It's a problem. And it's not fair market.
And the law stands in that regard. And so I support allowing Medicare to get a discount for bulk purchases. We have something called the pharmacist gag rule, believe it or not, in Minnesota. Pharmacists are prohibited from telling you if you could save money by just paying cash versus a deductible for...
Really?
Yes. And that should be repealed. And the list goes on and on, and people's eyes glaze over when you get into the details of it. But suffice it to say, whether it's Aaron Murphy or the other Democrats, they want mm-hmm. single payer. They want further government takeover of health care. And I would like to bring, you know, market principles and discipline back into the discussion.
I'd like some discipline, especially with the CEO of Mylan. You know, I don't like that EpiPen mess.
That's a little jerk.
It's a whole nother conversation. Yeah. And I know we're almost out of time, but when you came into the race, Carol Molnow, your lieutenant governor, endorsed Jeff Johnson. She was on with me. Jeff Johnson was here also. We're having all the candidates in. And I said, why? I said, you know, what happened? You worked with him for 8 years. It's kind of a slap in the face. Why didn't you endorse Tim Pawlenty? I have on tape. Don't worry. She was kind. She's a kind person. Yeah, yeah. I'd like you to respond to her answer. Sue, can you play it?
To be honest, I didn't even think of Tim Pawlenty when I was talking to Jeff all these last years. I really haven't talked to him probably in 8 years. I'm not on his Christmas card list, I think.
What's the matter, Tim? She's not on the Christmas card list.
Yeah, I really appreciate Carol Molnow and wish her all the best in whatever she is doing or chooses to do next. But she's made a choice to support Jeff Johnson. And I think if I understood her comments in the paper, maybe not on your show correctly, she thought Jeff was the more conservative candidate. I think my record's pretty conservative as well. But you know, I don't think people are going to support or not support a candidate for governor because of who they're lieutenant governor, a former lieutenant governor, you know, is doing, what they're doing or not doing.
Fair enough. Next year, maybe she'll be on the Christmas card list. She said you guys are friends. You just hadn't talked.
That's fair. Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. It was great to talk with you. Thank you for coming in and maybe going off the beaten path, and appreciate you laughing along with our raccoon
Happy
stories.
Happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
Gubernatorial candidate Tim Pawlenty. Late for the break, I am. Only a few seconds left here before the break. The weather was brought to you by the Chippewa Valley Air Show. When we get back, we're going to talk to Frank. He wants to talk about the raccoon, but also more men are choosing to have plastic surgery after the break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.